Well, if you would, turn to your Bibles to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 2. Two weeks ago, we talked about the greatest need when it comes to the Christmas story. You got to know that there's a need in order to know why Jesus had to come. He just wasn't thrown in the middle. Remember, Jesus wasn't the beginning of the story. He was right there in the middle of it. The beginning of it happened when Adam and Eve failed to obey God. And that's why Jesus had to come. And last week we talked about the greatest promise. That Isaiah talked about it, proclaimed it, 700 years before it even happened. And in Matthew we seen the fulfillment. Now that promise, Emmanuel, God with us. God stepped out of heaven in His infinite glory, stepped out of heaven and was put in flesh. Why? For you and me. So that we could have redemption. We could have that relationship back with Him. Because it took Him to die on the cross, shed His blood for our redemption. And today, The greatest announcement ever made in all of history was made on December the 7th, 1941, as the American Pacific Fleet lay in ruins at Pearl Harbor. President Franklin Roosevelt requested and receives a declaration of war against Japan. Leaning heavily on the arms of his son James, a Marine captain, FDR walked haltingly into the House of Representatives at noon to request a declaration of war from the House and address the nation via radio. He said, "Yesterday, the President proclaimed that December 7, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by the naval and air force of the Empire of Japan. No matter how long it may take us to overcome this premeditated invasion, the American people in their righteous might will win through the absolute victory." Roosevelt's 10-minute speech ended with an oath, "So help us God," and was greeted in the House by thunderous applause and stamping of feet. Within 1 hour, the President had his declaration of war with only one rescinding vote from a pessimist in the House. FDR signed the declaration at 4:10, wearing a black armband that symbolizes mourning for those lost in Pearl Harbor. Just similar to this, an unexpected announcement. The announcement of the birth of Jesus the Messiah was proclaimed not over the radio or television, but it was proclaimed to some very unusual people. The shepherds. The shepherds of all people. Let's look deep into this and look into these shepherds. Because you know, there are some who have an imagination of these shepherds as being some gentle folks singing sweet songs by a campfire. We see it on cards. In fact, the shepherds was a despicable occupation. The picture of shepherds in the field getting ready to hear angels sing invokes a positive pastoral image for us. It reminds us of Jesus' association with the line of David. But in the first century, shepherds were generally scorned as dishonest people who grazed their flocks on other land. They weren't pleasant like Hallmark cards pick them out to be. We have sentimentalized them on our Christmas cards and arts that look so gentle, folks waiting for a homecoming celebration. No picture is further from reality. Let's read to whom the angel first visited to share the greatest announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ. Let's read more about them in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20, if you would please stand for God's reading of God's Word. And this is what it says. This is just after the decree was sent out. Everyone was to go back to their hometowns and be registered. And this is just after Mary had given birth. And it says, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great joy. What was that? Great fear. We'll get into why here in a minute. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." And when the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known by saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. What a glorious announcement. But to the shepherds, they weren't so glorious, because they were fearful of these angels coming and telling them this announcement. But they didn't just stick around and say, "Hey fellas, let's go over here and let's grab us a cup of coffee. Let's forget about this, what they just said. I think they're delusional." No, they made haste and went to Bethlehem to find out what went on. Let's find out more about these shepherds in this great announcement. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the announcement that you made. Because, Lord, without you giving us hope, there is no hope. Without you making that promise of a Savior, again, there's no joy. So, Lord, what a great announcement that you made. And, Lord, of all people that you used as shepherds, thank you. Because, Lord, it means something, and we'll get into that. Thank you for your word. Give you all the glory, because it is about you, Jesus, not about us. Christmas is about you giving back to you, not you giving to us. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let me ask you this. Did you notice this big announcement of the Savior of the world? And who it came to first? Who did this announcement come to? It came to the shepherds. Isn't that strange? It came to the shepherds. I want the angels to do something widescreen and high in depth. I want them to shout it from the mountaintops and parading the streets of Jerusalem, shouting, "Wake up and hear this." The angels should have gone to the temple to tell the religious leaders what God is doing. They should have gone to the governor and let him know that something awesome was happening in Bethlehem. They should have went to Herod. After all, he was the current king of Judea. They should have told him that God was doing a great thing in Bethlehem and that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords was born. When Moses was born, God delivered him straight to the top, right to Pharaoh himself. But the angels, instead of telling somebody important, announced the Messiah's birth to a ragtag bunch of misfit shepherds. A ragtag bunch of misfit shepherds. who were despised in their community for their work. The big announcement. I don't know about you, but when you have a big announcement, you like to tell your loved ones and friends and everybody. Do you go tell your enemies? So you see, Jesus was announced of his birth to a bunch of ragtag misfit shepherds. That's not what I would have done. That's probably not what you would have done. That's not what we would have done. But that was the way God wanted it. And I wonder why. All the wonders of it all. I wonder why. Well, first thing I want us to see is that Jesus came for the misfits. If you ever watched Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, there was a land of misfit toys. Remember that? Come on, we all watch Rudolph. Come on. That's if you don't, you're non-American. Rudolph was it. When they came on, your eyes were glued to that TV. But in the end, it was the land of misfit toys. Santa went and got these misfit toys for the boys and girls. But see, Jesus came for the misfits. Amen. It says in 8 and 9, the verse, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the fields keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. In this account, we discover the heart of God and the means of the birth of Jesus Christ. Here's a graphic picture of Jesus, the one sent to the misfits of society. We are reminded here that Jesus comes for people like the shepherds. We are misfits. The shepherds. The angels come to the shepherds, the misfits of the society. The shepherds, not the religious elite, the political savvy, or the rulers of the people, become a metaphor for the kind of people Jesus came to save. He came to save the misfits. The angels came to the shepherds, the misfits of their society, people who were doing what they were doing every day and every night, their routine jobs, people going through the routines of life, people living an ordinary life. Isn't that what the birth of Jesus Christ is all about? It's about God meeting us, not on our holy high days, but in our ordinary days, in our ordinary places, in extraordinary ways. That's why Jesus came. The birth of Christ is about God coming to us in our everyday lives and saying to us, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news. I proclaim that God will meet us in our pains and in our loneliness. And about God meeting us in our frustrations and our anger. It's about God meeting us on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It's about God wanting to be a part of our lives every day. People doing everything. It's about God meeting us in our ordinary places in extraordinary ways. I think that's why God sent the angels to the shepherds. It's to let us know that this child was all for all people. Even the most ordinary. Even the most, I'm as ordinary as you get. I'm as generic as you get. And Jesus came for me. I'm nobody in high society. I'm a nobody in good leadership has word to say in our cities or state or country. I'm just an ordinary Joe. He came for me. He came for you. His name was Bill. He had wild hair, like me. Wore a t-shirt with holes in it. I heard all that laughing out there. I don't remember you. What I got you for Christmas last year, you're getting it again this year. This was his role. This was his wardrobe during his 4 years of college. Though mildly eccentric, he was a brilliant person. He became a Christian while attending college. And across from his campus was a traditional church. They wanted to develop a ministry to students, but weren't sure how to go about it. So one day, Bill decided to go to worship there. He walked in with his wild hair, t-shirts with holes in it, jeans and shoes with no socks. The service started. Bill started down the aisle looking for a seat, but the church was full. By now, people were looking a bit uncomfortable, but no one said anything. Bill got closer and closer to the front. When he realized there was no seats, he just sat right down on the floor. Although perfectly acceptable behavior at a college fellowship, this had never happened in this church. By now, the people were really uptight, and the tension in the air was thick. A deacon slowly made his way towards Bill. And this deacon was in his 80s. A distinguished man with silver gray hair and three-piece suit. He walked with a cane. Everyone thought, you can't blame him for what he's about to do. How could you expect a man of his age and background to understand some college kid thinking he can come worship and sit on the floor here in our church? It took time for this man to reach the boy. The church became utterly silent except for the clinking of the man's cane on the tiled floor. All eyes focused on him. When the elderly deacon got next to the boy, he dropped his cane on the floor, and with great difficulty, he lowered himself and asked Bill, "May I sit with you?" And the man sat down next to Bill and worshiped with him so that he wouldn't be alone. That's what the greatest announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ is about. Radical action. It's about radical behavior, a radical gospel, a radical Savior, and a radical God. What I mean by that, it means He changes you instantly. That's God. He gives us that radical behavior. Not crazy, but it's like, wow, I got to do something good for Him. He changes us like that. The greatest announcement in the world of all history was the announcement of the birth of our Savior. And He came to these shepherds, the misfits of society. This birth of this child is about God coming to us in our everyday lives saying, don't be afraid. Remember that. It's about God meeting us in our pains and loneliness, our frustrations, our anger, on our Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Come on, we all have had those days. Monday morning, how are you? You look good on Sunday. You talk good on Sunday. You think good on Sunday. You go to bed and something happens, you wake up on Monday and you're a whole different person. Amen? I'm glad you guys are. I am too. How are you on Tuesday nights and Thursday mornings? You see, God sent Jesus for us ordinary misfits. We need a Savior. And He knew that. Second thing I want us to see is the greatest announcement. Look at these shepherds. They're like, oh, wow, what was that? 9 through 11 says, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Great fear! These angels were coming to talk to the misfits, and they were scared. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring good news of great joy to be joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in the manger. Can you imagine the first reaction of these shepherds? I couldn't imagine the great fear that overtook them because they were scared to death. And there's reasons for that. They understood that the appearance of angels was an omen as though God was bringing His wrath upon them. It was a sign that they didn't like. They were scared. It wasn't until they said, whoa, fear not. Don't be scared. Daniel said, "Fear not, behold, I bring you good news of great joy." It'd be like an officer of the law knocking on your door. And you're thinking, "Did I do something wrong? What do you need, officer?" "Oh, I just brought you great cheer and great joy. Here, here's a ticket." No, I'm just kidding. "We want to bless you with this or bless you with that." See? You're scared when you see him at the door. You kind of, your heart kind of like, "Did I forget to pay a ticket?" But see, these angels come and visited the shepherds. And they were scared. They said, "Whoa, wait a minute, don't be scared. I bring you good news of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." This great fear was replaced with great joy at the greatest announcement by the angel. And this is what, and with that, in verse 13 and 14, it tells us that the heavens opened with the glorious music, and the heavenly chorus praised God and sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom He is pleased." In the midst of this ordinary night, and these ordinary shepherds encountered an extraordinary God. The shepherds must have been surprised that God broke into their ordinary lives. Don't you know that God loves to break into your ordinary life? Your mundane, your struggles, your hurts, your habits, your hang-ups. He likes to break into those. And He likes to do the extraordinary to the ordinary. That's our God. That's what He does. That's what He's in the business of doing. The shepherds must have been surprised that God broke into their ordinary lives. For us, Christ sometimes breaks into our lives when we least expect it. There's a breakthrough. Our wayward child has come home. We have found ourselves drug and alcohol free. We have restored marriages. We have restored relationships between parents and children. That's God's breaking through into our lives, in our ordinary lives, to misfit people because of Jesus Christ. He takes the ordinary and makes it extraordinary. God met the shepherds when and where they least expected to be met. And after all, this is also what the birth of Christ means, is when God meets us when we least expect it. When we say, "God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I need help. What am I going to do?" And God breaks through our ordinary and makes it extraordinary. And we can't do nothing but say, "Wow. Wow. I am so glad and I'm so thankful that this 3-pound brain here cannot contain God, because my God wouldn't be very much. I'm glad He just blows my mind with what He does." And He continues to. Because He's God. He's not bound by time, space, or matter. But you know what He did? He stepped out of that and come bound to space, time, and matter for us in the form of Jesus Christ. And the biggest announcement ever made in history was His birth. And who was it made to? The shepherds, the lowly, the misfits, the scum, the despised of society. That's how God works. Just when you think you got God and knowing what He's doing, nah, forget it. He'll blow your mind every time. God met these shepherds where they least expected it. Let's look at this. The great anticipation. Have you ever been anticipated by something? Yeah, great anticipation. I know kids are on Christmas Eve. Then they get up with the anticipation of opening up presents. So are adults. Let's not lie now. We're in church. The greatest anticipation. Maybe it's a mother knowing that she's about to give birth to a child. The great anticipation. These shepherds had great anticipation. It said in 15 through 18, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known by saying, "That's has been told to them concerning this child." And all who heard it were wondering at what the shepherds told them. They went in great anticipation. And the heavenly chorus sang, "Glory to God." After this powerful display of praise, the shepherds just had to see for themselves. So after the angels went back into heaven, they ran off to Bethlehem to experience what the angel had told them. When they got to Bethlehem, they found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the feeding trough, get you? He wasn't laying in a king-sized bed made for the king. He wasn't in a palace where he was being fed by the attendants. He was born in a stable, in a feeding trough for animals. And after seeing them, the shepherds, they said, "Is this what we came to Bethlehem to see? What a waste of time. This is just an ordinary baby. Big deal." Is that what they said? Oh no. Verse 18, 17 and 18 said that they reported the message they had been told of this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd had said to them. And what was it, the message that was told to the shepherds? "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." Key word, a Savior. "Who is Christ, the Anointed One. Christ the Lord." At last, a long-awaited Messiah finally made His appearance and the greatest announcement told to the shepherds. And this could not have been kept a secret, for they had to tell others. When God offers grace, the appropriate response is joy. Come on. When you hear a big announcement and it's something you've been waiting for, are you sad? No, you are filled with joy. Eventually, the whole world will celebrate the coming of this child, but for now, only the shepherds knew what had happened in Bethlehem. And their reaction to what they witnessed should be how all God's people should respond, which was found in verse 20. And the shepherds returned doing what? Verse 20, glorifying God. They left glorifying God. They didn't say, "Whew, that was cheap entertainment for a dollar." No, they said, glorifying God for what they have seen and heard. And they witnessed. They witnessed it. They were not only told about it, they not only heard about it, but they went and seen it for themselves. And it was true. It's one thing to be told something and to go find out and it wasn't true. But to see it and hear it and go and then actually witness it, and it is true. What would you do? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for sending your Son as their Savior. Reading Luke's account, we're filled with wonder. We expect something miraculous. We expect the amazement to continue. We want the mystery of the moment to continue, because if we're really honest with ourselves, we long for something amazing to happen in our lives. Our routines are predictable and hurried. Our schedules so frantic and programmed. Our children are so busy with schoolwork, school activities, and sports and church. Our days are so packed with stuff. I wonder if we allow ourselves time to live. Do we breathe in between those moments? Take a deep breath. Now let it out. Now you got your rest for the day. I wonder if we're allowing ourselves time to live. Yet as we hear the angels singing and the shepherds hurrying and Mary pondering, we feel we may just find a little time to wonder. Oh, the wonder of it all. Yet again, we are stuck by our routineness of it all, the normalcy of it all. We have come to the angels singing, glorifying God, to a daily tick, 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 tick of the clock. We have taken Christmas and made it ordinary when it should be extraordinary. The challenge for us is always to find ways to celebrate the presence of God in ordinary moments of everyday life. The smile of a friend, the sharing of a meal, the beauty of good music. Perhaps the words of a familiar Appalachian carol grasps the idea best, and this is what it says. I wonder as I wonder out under the sky how Jesus the Savior did come for to die. For poor ornery people like you and like I wonder as I wonder out under the sky. When Mary birthed Jesus, 'twas in a cow stall, with wise men and farmers and shepherds and all. But high from God's heaven a starlight did fall, and the promise of ages it then did recall. If Jesus had wanted for any wee thing, a star in the sky or a bird on the wing, or all the God's angels in heaven for to sing, he surely could have had it, because he was the King. When the shepherds had seen Jesus, their world was turned upside down. They spread the word concerning what had happened and had told them about the Christ child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But when it comes right down to it, has Jesus turned your world upside down? That's what Jesus came to do. Turn our world upside down. Now, let us proclaim the greatest announcement ever told in history. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing, what? And heaven and nature sing. And heaven, heaven and nature sing. The greatest announcement. Jesus came to the misfits of society. I fit that. I fit that bill. Because I'm a misfit. But I know that Jesus came for me. Please stand. I'm going to ask you this today, folks. I'm just going to make it simple. Has Jesus turned your world upside down? Because if He hasn't, maybe you need to refocus on what Christmas means to you. It's not the popularity and the materialistic things that gets us to heaven. It's the gift that God gave us in the form of His Son, Jesus Christ, gets us. And our personal relationship with Him gets us to heaven. Let's pray. Father, we ask that You would help us in the hustle and the bustle this year, Lord. We know that what Christmas means, but we allow it to be robbed away from us because we're in a hustle and bustle world that this has got to be done, this has got to be done. Oh, we got to get this done. We got to go get that present. We got to get this present. Instead of taking time to go, thank you, God, for sending your Son. Lord, let us not make this ordinary. Break through our lives, Lord, where we are, and make it extraordinary. Help us today, Lord, to be pleasing to You. But Lord, let the world know that this Christmas is not about us. It's not about the presents that we receive. But it's what we give back to You is the most important thing. Because the greatest announcement was made in all of history when Jesus came and was born in Bethlehem for misfits like me. We pray, Lord, that You'll work in our hearts today. Holy Spirit, have Your way in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our hymn of invitation today is going to be page 628, He Touched Me.
Cindy.
Good morning, Pastor.
Good to see you.
Thank you. We need to pray for Jade and Snow with her mama.
I can't,
I think their mama must have. She knew Christ, but I think she was lost in.
Yeah.
She's just into the
internet. Just need a breakthrough on that.
She brought all these men into her home with her two baby girls.
What's that?
And I know that her mom's got a lot of witchcraft people friends now.
Will you stay close to her because you're her stability? I know you are. I know you are.
When her mama lets me in the door.
You're her stability.
I
know. Well, I know the best way to do it. We're going to pray about it right now. Pray for a breakthrough.
Grandma, I pray every night. I say, baby, you keep doing it. Grandma, do you hear me tell you I love you? I said, baby, I hear you. She says, when we sing You Are My Sunshine, she says, I hear you sing your part, and then I sing my part.
Father, we come before You, and Lord, we thank You that we can. Yeah, Lord, You came for us ordinary people that struggle through life. But Lord, we got some hope, and that's Your Son. And Lord, I lift up Jade to You. I lift up her mom, that Lord, she realizes what she's doing. I thank You for Cindy and for Danny and them being in her life. Because Lord, she has to have stability. Someone to hang on to. And I know that Grandpa and Grandma are pointing her to You, to say that You're the ultimate one we need to hang on to. But I pray for them, Lord. I pray for a breakthrough. I pray for a breakthrough in this ordinary life that we live here. But Lord, sometimes it can be overwhelming. I pray for a breakthrough, Lord, in that situation. Help us, Lord, to lift her up to You. Pray for her mama. She realizes what she's doing. I give You honor and glory, Lord, because You're good. And You take good care of us. And I pray for Cindy, Lord, she be strong. Help her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's him, buddy.
No, that's on top.
Ordinary people, buddy. We're sticking together. Father, we praise You because, Lord, You take us ordinary people and You give us hope. I pray for Greg, Lord, and I continue to pray for him as he continues to be drug free. Lord, that's you. The way you touched him and how you brought him through, Lord, to break through in his life. Shows, Lord, that it's not about the high and mighty society. Lord, it's about the misfits down here that just, Lord, keep struggling. And Lord, you're with us in our days when we feel like we're just giving up. Help Greg, Lord, continue to show. Because Lord, it's being seen. Help him to realize not to give up for anything. To hold on to him, Lord. You got a hold of him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just because you're ordinary doesn't mean that you're not important. God is good all the time. And because you think you're a misfit, outcast in society, doesn't mean that God's through with you. Let Him work through your life. Give Him an opportunity. Because I guarantee you this, you're looking at a big misfit. You're looking at an outcast in society. It's like, God couldn't do anything with me. And you know what? It's not because I'm a pastor. Lay that aside. Because when I get to heaven, my title isn't going to matter nothing. It's what did I do with Jesus Christ? That's going to be the matter of the fact.
Amen.
I have Christ. And that's all I need to make me important in God's eyes. I'm not a misfit. I'm a child of the King.
Amen.
A child of the King. And I've got a home in glory. And I'm going to go there one day. I just got my own address.
You're
going to
have hair.
I hope. I can only pray. But if I don't, I'll still be a bald, perfect person in God's sight.
Amen.
And then I'm going to go after Dennis and say, oh, what did you say about me?
Dennis may not have
hair. Yeah, Dennis may not have hair, so we'll just have to flip-flop. Anyway, folks, to come to the conclusion of the service, we need each other.
Amen.
We are a family. And we need to treat each other as family. There's going to be times when we have disagreements. There's going to be times when we don't see eye to eye with one another. There are going to be times when maybe I get under your skin or you get under my skin, or we're both like tattoos, we get under each other's skin. But how do we love each other through it? How do we show each other that we're also important to God as well? You know how we do it? We love, we forgive, and we show the love of Christ. That's how we get through it. If we can't do that, what are we coming to church for?
Amen.
What do we serve a Savior? I love you.
We love
you. You are my family. And I appreciate each and every one of you. Without you, without the love of my wife, and definitely without the love of my Savior and Lord, I wouldn't want to be here. I wouldn't want to be here. Not here as in this building. I'm saying here on this earth. So those of you out there that feel like I'm a nobody, you're a somebody. And we want to make sure that you understand that you're a somebody here. So don't walk out of this door thinking that you're a nobody. Because if you do, it's because the devil's lying in your ear and he's a liar. Straight out of hell. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for saving misfits such as I. Lord, I can't do this life without you. I don't want to. I refuse to. Lord, I know you sent your Son and made the greatest announcement of history. And you did it to the shepherds. Oh, Lord, thank you that you've seen fit to send us a Savior. Lord, we need each other. Now I pray for us as a church that we stick close to one another. And Lord, we check on each other. We get involved with one another. We share lives with one another. Not be acquaintances. But Lord, we get involved with each other. You know, ministry sometimes can be messy. And we get into people's lives, it can be messy. But Lord, you got involved in our lives and it was messy. But Lord, you didn't stop you. Lord, help us not to back off when things get a little messy. That's when you make the ordinary extraordinary. Bless this day for us, Lord. Let us go out proclaiming glory to God in the highest and singing hallelujahs to you in Jesus' name. Amen.